The story that Linda shared just a moment ago is one of the great parables of Jesus. And on the surface, it seems like this is pretty simple and straightforward. You have two people in the story. First of all, you have a Pharisee. Now, we all know when you have a Pharisee, the Pharisee's the bad guy. So here's the Pharisee. Boo. Nobody likes the Pharisees. So we're going to put him over here. But then you have this other guy. Oh, yeah, he's a tax collector, but here's a guy who's humble. Here's a guy who prays to God and says, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." So he's the good guy. Yay! So we're supposed to be like this guy, the tax collector, and we're not supposed to be like this guy, boo, the Pharisee. Only problem is the story is not that simple. And I'll go ahead and tell you this is a trap. And we will quickly be caught in the trap. In fact, all of us have already been caught in the trap. My mother used to tell me a story. And she told me every time we had fried chicken. It was a story when she was a little girl. My mother was an orphan. Both of her parents died by the time she was 6 years old. Her family was dirt poor. And my mother went from one family member to another family member growing up, and her childhood was not a happy experience. She used to tell me the story about Sunday dinner. The best meal of the week was always Sunday dinner. But when it was announced the preacher was coming, she was not happy at all, because that meant she would not get any fried chicken. See, back in the day, boys and girls, people said children need to be seen but not heard. And when you had the preacher over to eat, all of the adults would eat first. And the children had to wait. Now, we can't imagine that today, but that's the way it used to be. The children had to wait, and they would eat whatever was left. And mother said she never liked the preacher coming because there was never, ever any fried chicken left. And she would never get any chicken. But a new preacher came to town. And it was announced that the preacher was coming for Sunday dinner. And my mother said, I was so sad because they were frying the chicken and I knew I wouldn't get any. But something happened that day. I don't know if the preacher had noticed my mother. I don't know what happened. But my mother said the preacher took a piece, the best piece of fried chicken, and he saved it for her. So that after all the adults had finished their meal and the children came to the table, he went over and he presented her with that piece of fried chicken. She said, I don't remember his name, but I'll never forget his act of kindness, his humility, and his grace. This is a story about humility, about not thinking too highly of ourselves, about not looking down on others. This is a parable that exposes one of the great human temptations, and that is to build yourself up by tearing other people down. But lest we think this Pharisee is the bad guy, and usually in the stories of Jesus, the Pharisees don't come out looking too good, let me tell you who the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were the best of the best. They were the most dedicated. They were the most devout. Most of the Pharisees came from the middle class, and they worked themselves up. They were self-made men. You've heard of the Sadducees. Well, the Sadducees came from the aristocracy. They were people of wealth and people of privilege, but not the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the ones who earned their title and their distinction. In order to be a Pharisee, you had to take a vow of obedience. You had to follow every single law, down to the last jot and tittle, every law to the letter of the law. You had to tithe. You had to follow all of the dietary regulations. You had to engage in the prayers and the rituals exactly at the right minute that you were supposed to do that. All of the ceremonial laws, you had to adhere to all of those. Once a person was invited to be a Pharisee, they were taken in on a period of probation. They were carefully observed by the other Pharisees. And if anything went wrong, they would simply be kicked out. After a period of probation that lasted up to 1 year, then that person could become a Pharisee. Everything this Pharisee says about himself is true. Did you read all, or did you listen to all of the accolades as Linda was reading the story? The Pharisee said, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust. I have not taken advantage of other people. I fast twice a week. I give 10%. I tithe everything that I have. Everything I am required to do, I do. We're talking about the most dedicated people. We're talking about the most devout, the most pious, the holiest. We're talking about the people that we would love to have as our church member. I'm at church every time the doors are open. I'm a tither. I serve on the committees. I never miss. I do everything I'm asked to do. Is this the bad guy? But then we have the tax collector. Now let me tell you, this tax collector was not a good guy. He made his living off corrupt and oppressive government. He had certainly cheated people. He had taken advantage of people. He had done things that the law of God specifically says you cannot do. And so now, all of a sudden, you have a good guy. Yay! We thought he was the bad guy. And the guy we thought was the good guy really doesn't turn out to be so good after all. But what is Jesus trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us that the Pharisee, while he is the good person, he is the righteous person, he is the most faithful person, he misses one important foundational truth. He misses the true nature of his blessing. He believes that he is righteous and devout and faithful because he has earned it. He believes he is good because he has worked hard to be good. He has trusted in himself, but his righteousness is based entirely in his own actions and being. On the other hand, the tax collector knows that he is a bad person. He knows that he is a sinner. He knows that he's cheated people. He knows that he's done things that he's not supposed to do. And so he simply says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that is the point of being righteous. Not by all the things we do, not by all of our spiritual accomplishments, but by our humility and our confession that we have sinned. And we throw ourselves completely and totally upon the mercy of God. It's interesting that this story takes place in the temple, because the temple was supposed to symbolize the very presence of God, but yet the temple was a system of insiders and outsiders, of the good people and the bad people. The Gentiles, for example, were really the outsiders. Now, they could go up on the Temple Mount, but they couldn't go into the temple. The women were the outsiders. They could go up on the Temple Mount. They could actually go into one of the outer courts, but then they had to stop. The Pharisees were the insiders, the most devout, but everybody else was an outsider. And the sad thing that Jesus is telling us here is that that is not the way we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to live in a system of insiders and outsiders, whether it's the church, whether it's our community, whether it's our family. We live in a divisive world, don't we? Aren't you tired of the division? Aren't you tired of all the things that separate us and pull us apart? We are divided by politics. We are divided by religion and how we practice our religion. We are divided by our opinions. Some want this and some want that. The key to this passage is found when we read the opening words. The Pharisee stood up. He elevated himself and then he looked down on everyone else. Contempt for others lurks in the human heart, and somehow we have this notion that when we condemn others, we can vindicate or validate ourselves. And we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? Isn't it so easy to look at someone and just look at the way they're dressed, or maybe look at their opinions and to immediately condemn them or not have good feelings about them? Some of you were probably here a few weeks ago when I told a story about one of our great bus trips in the spring. A number of years ago, we went out to Louisville, Kentucky, and we were going to see the Louisville Bat Company. They make most of the bats for all the major league players. It's quite a place to visit if you go to Louisville. And I'll never forget the day that we pulled up in the bus, and there was, over here, beside where we parked, there was this motorcycle gang. I mean, it was a rough-looking crowd. Leather jackets, chains, tattoos. I mean, they were just standing over there, and I looked at them and I said, Lord, I'm so thankful I'm not like them. I probably did in my heart. Here I am, the good preacher, bringing my senior adults on a bus trip, and we got to put up with this. Well, I had to go inside. I told everybody, I said, just stay on the bus. We're going to go inside and make sure, you know, we have tickets and all this. So Phil was with me, Phil Rector. Phil and I went inside and we got our tickets. We came back out. Lo and behold, one of those motorcycle guys was on the bus with the microphone addressing all of the people. I thought, my soul, the bus has been hijacked. Those guys have taken advantage. He's on there now saying, take all of your money out, your wallets, your purses, and put it in the basket. I just knew that it was over. There I was. I had let my senior adults down. I didn't protect them from all this rough motorcycle gang over here until I got a little closer and I found out what happened. One of our dear saints, who is actually a member of the Methodist Church, many of you know Mary Hooks. Mary Hooks has never met a stranger in her life. And so when I went inside to get the tickets, she went over to see what that crowd was all about. And you know what we found out? They were Vietnam veterans. And it was close to Memorial Day, and every year on Memorial Day, Vietnam veterans will get together, and they will drive their motorcycles to Washington, D.C., and they will go to the Vietnam Memorial, and they raise money for the people who have sacrificed and who are still suffering, and they're some of the best people in the whole wide world. They have sacrificed so you and I can have freedom to enjoy the community and the world that we enjoy. And they were on that bus telling their story. And I felt about like that. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. While the Pharisee stood up, and while he looked down on others, and while he said, I'm so thankful I'm not like this tax collector, I want you to notice the attitude of altitude in this story. Everything about the tax collector is lifted up. About the Pharisee is lifted up. Everything about the tax collector is low. While the Pharisee was at the very center so everybody could see him, the tax collector was far away. Luke tells us that he would not even look up into heaven. He was so ashamed of his condition. And when he finished his humble prayer, Lord, have mercy, he went down. He went down to his home. But he was justified. What is this saying to all of us? It is saying that the place that we meet our brothers and sisters in life is not the place of our accomplishments, not all of our honors and accolades. It's not our political opinions. It's not all of the things that divide us. But there is one thing that we all have in common, and it is simply this. We are sinners. All of us have sinned, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. What we need is not moral condescension, but what we need is human compassion. We need not humiliation, but empathy. Not shame, but hope. A 7th century saint wrote the words, "The person who has come to know the weakness of human nature has gained experience of divine power. Such a person never belittles anyone, but he knows that God is like a good and loving physician who heals with individual treatment each of those who are trying to make progress." We talk about the Lord's Prayer. We just shared the Lord's Prayer. But you know what the Lord's Prayer really is? It's this one. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because if that's the point where I begin, then we're all equal. And that's when we can become brothers and sisters in the family of faith. For the last 30 years, I know, you have heard the name of one of the great preachers of our generation, the late Fred Craddock. Tommy always quoted Fred Craddock. I like to quote Fred Craddock. I love him because he's a storyteller, and he's told some of the best stories. But I think without a doubt, the very best story that Fred Craddock ever told was a story that he shared when he was delivering the Lyman Beecher lectures at Yale University. And he told the story about very early in his career as a seminary professor. He and his wife had gone on a vacation. They went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They just wanted to get away. They wanted to escape. He didn't want to have to worry about all of the demands of teaching or preaching or anything like that. And he said one night, we found this quiet little restaurant. And here we were, just the two of us, and we were in a corner, and we were enjoying this wonderful meal, and we finally had time for ourselves. But there was this one guy in the restaurant, a gregarious fellow that was going around greeting everybody, shaking their hands, and Craddock said, I hope he doesn't come over here. But he did. He made his rounds, and finally he went around to their little table, and he said, it's good to see you folks. Where are y'all from? And Fred Craddock said, well, we're actually from Oklahoma. Well, what brings you here to Gatlinburg? Well, we just wanted to get away. We wanted to have a little time to ourselves. Well, what do you do? Craddock said, I'm a professor of homiletics, hoping the guy wouldn't understand what that meant and would leave him alone. He said, oh, you're a preacher. I got a story to tell you. Everybody's got a preacher story. And Craddock said, oh my soul, Lord have mercy. This is the story. He said, I grew up not far from here. I was born an illegitimate child. I never knew who my father was. That was back in the days when that carried quite a stigma. When I was in school, my classmates would call me names and make fun of me. And he said there were times that I would just go off by myself and I would cry. I was so ashamed. I didn't have any friends. He said when I would walk downtown, everybody would stare at me and I could tell that they were talking about me and they would call me names. Everybody looked down on me. And then there was a new preacher that came to town. And I would always slip in after the service started and leave before it was over because I didn't want people looking at me and judging me. But there was something about this new preacher that I really liked. But every Sunday when he would finish, I would leave before he got to the front door. Except one Sunday, I think he'd been watching me because one Sunday he went around and about the time I was leaving the door, this big hand got on my shoulder and said, son, tell me who you are. Who's your daddy? He said, I looked down. I said, now even the preacher is condemning me. When the preacher took his big hand under my chin and lifted it up and said, let me see. Let's see, son. I know who you are. I see that family resemblance. You are a child of God. I can see it in your face. And then he patted him on the back and said, now go claim your inheritance. And he said, that was the greatest statement that has ever been made in my life. And he left. And the Craddocks, when the waitress came over, they said, who was that man? And she said, oh, you mean Governor Hooper? Said, he's the former governor of the state of Tennessee. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let us pray. Dear God, we have no standing apart from you. In spite of our commitment to be here on Sunday, for all of the things that we do, the work that we are involved with, our giving to the church and everything else, we're counted righteous only because of your righteousness and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy For we have sinned, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. Teach us humility. Teach us grace and kindness. And help us to see in the face of every human being the likeness of God. Amen.